Actualize your intention. We're still in this fascinating gray area of integrity in situations where it's not contractually required, where contractually you're free to change your mind, to renege. But what are the ethical guidelines of an individual? And when you get into these areas, it's what really defines who you are as a person. If you stick to your legal obligations, that says nothing about you except that you keep the law. It doesn't say anything about your character, about what kind of person you are. We test ourselves as a human being as to how do we behave when there isn't a legal obligation. What are the requirements? And we define ourselves not only by the things we do, we also define ourselves by the things we don't do. There are just certain things that a Jew doesn't do. There are certain things that a Talmud Chacham, a person who's involved in a Torah life, doesn't do. And there are different levels, and we see how nuanced this gray area is. I don't even like to call it a gray area. It's more like the colors of a rainbow. The area between the extremes are nuanced. It's not just all one kind of level of gray. Let's learn the Gemara. It's a long and fairly complex piece of Gemara, so we can only touch on it. But in touching on it, I want to try and get to some of the essence of it, especially according to the Shita of the Rambam. It starts off with a mice. It starts off with a case study of Rav Kahana. Yavu le'zuzi akitna. They gave him partial payment for a shipment of flax. He was a flax trader, and he had a large shipment of flax. He contracted to sell it at a certain price, and the buyer gave him partial payment for the flax. L'sof ayek kitna. The market went crazy. And before he delivered, the market went much higher, and Rav Kahana could get a lot more for his flax. Atala kame derav. So he came and asked a shaila of Rav. Does he have a basis to renege on this contract? Omale b'maidin kitat zuzi havluhu. The amount that the money covers, you have to give to him, even though there's no contractual obligation. We've already learned there is a misha para. Even not according to the Rimigash, you'll remember, if there's money that's been paid, even though money is not contractually binding, payment is not contractually binding, this is movable property, it's like the gold Rolex, it's a shipment of linen. Nevertheless, the fact that there's been the giving of money, which is a midoraisa, according to some, is a valid form of kinyan, however we want to take it, the fact that there's been payment, that covers, according to Rav, the amount that it covers. So imagine that the shipment was for $100,000 worth of linen, and the buyer paid $20,000. Then the way Rav learns, and he holds us throughout Shas, that payment covers 20% of the shipment. It's not that he's paid 20% of each bundle of flax. It doesn't spread through the whole shipment. It means he's paid for 20% of the shipment. So you've got to deliver 20% of the shipment. Otherwise, there would be a misha para. You're not contractually obliged to. Contractually, you can get out of it. The contract is not sealed yet. But there's a misha para. You would be considered, as we learned yesterday, as part of these corrupt people who don't stand by their word. So the 20% he's paid for, you have to deliver. Ve'idach, but the balance, the 80%, dvarim ninu. There's just a verbal intent expressed. And dvarim, if there's only words he holds, is not even a problem of mechusrei amana, means lack of integrity. Everybody understands that if you haven't contracted yet, and the conditions change substantially from when you made the initial agreement, everybody understands the agreement can change. Once payment has been made, that's a different story. But if it's only words, then you can retract. Dizma, because we've learned dvarim, words alone with nothing else. Rav Amarin by Mishum Bechusra Amonav, Rabbi Yochanan Yesh by Mishum Bechusra Amonav. There's a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says words alone to change your mind is not even a lack of integrity. Rabbi Yochanan says there is. You've said you're going to do something. You're bound by your word. At least a lack of integrity that exists there as well. So we have an interesting machlokes, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Mesavei, so they asked from a Braisa. Braisa is very authoritative, more authoritative than Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. And using the Braisa, the Gemara asks against Rav. Rav, who says that words alone are not even ethically binding, never mind legally binding, that's very difficult to understand because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah, Omer, Matal Miloma, it says in the Torah, we've got a clear posuk in Vayikra, where the posuk says, Mo'ozne tzedek, avne tzedek, eifat tzedek, vihin tzedek yelachem. You must have balances that are righteous, that are accurate, stones and weights and measures. Everything has to be accurate when you're trading with volume and weight. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim. It means hin tzedek v'alo hin bichlal eifahu. Why does it have to say hin tzedek and eifah tzedek? The one is just a bigger measure. You're saying the same thing. Why is the Torah repeating? El alomalecha hin tzedek comes to tell you the word hin comes from the word hein. Not only do your measures and weights have to be accurate, but your words have to be accurate. Your yes has to be a yes, and your no has to be a no. She'ehin shelcha tzedek v'lav shelcha tzedek. So how can you, Rav, say words alone are not binding? We see that there's a midoraisa, there's a posuk in the Torah that you've got it. And Rashi is very beautiful on that. Rashi says, she'ehin shelcha klomar, kesheata medaber hein olav. When you speak, and you say the word yes, or you say the word no, there is a chiyuv d'oraisa kayem d'varecha v'hatzdekota. It's not an ethical thing of not telling a lie. There is a chiyuv d'oraisa. You have an obligation to be mekayem and to be mitzadekotam. You've got to actualize what you said. If you've expressed an intention, you've actually got to finish off. You can't just stop there. It's an amazing concept. And Rabbi Kiveger in the Giloy and Ashas, we've learned how important it is to take notice of Rabbi Kiveger in the notes of his Gemara. He says, look at Ksuvus Pei Vovam with Aleph in Rashi. Just go to Ksuvus. If you remember, after all, we've done Daf Yomi, so we've done Ksuvus. We've learned Gemara and Rashi. Do you remember the Rashi there on Daf Pei Vovam with Aleph? You remember clearly? Bottom of the page, well, you're not far on. Says Rashi there, Mitzvah alav lifroa chovo l'amit devarav. The Gemara there says, priyat bal chov is a mitzvah. When you pay your debt, you're doing a mitzvah. It's not just, I'm obligated. Obviously, I borrowed $100, he has the $100. You're actually doing a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? It's a contractual obligation. You're a ganav, you're a thief if you don't pay your debt. No, says the Gemara, it's a mitzvah to pay your debt. What is the mitzvah? Says Rashi, the mitzvah is la'amit devarav, dichtiv hen tzedek she'hen shelcha tzedek v'lav shelcha tzedek. You're actualizing an undertaking. And that's a mitzvah. When a Jew says something, when a person, not even only a Jew, when any individual says something, to then take what you've said and put it into practice, to execute on a verbalized intention, is a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah of the Torah. That's how Rashi learns this posuk according to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Abaye, but what about Rav? So what does Rav say? How can Rav say that there's nothing, if you've just said words, there's no obligation? How shelo yedaber echad befeh ve'echad belev? That's saying something else. That's saying, at the time you say something, you shouldn't mean something different. So Rav and Rabbi Yochanan learn this posuk differently. That hen shelcha tzedek means that once you've said something, you have an obligation, a mitzvah, to actualize it. To actually take it to the end. That's how Rabbi Yochanan learns this. Rav says, no, it's just a word. Everybody knows it's just a word. Nobody holds you to your word. People understand circumstances can change. But when you say it, you've got to have intention. The difference between them would be in a situation where there's a change in value, like the case of the Rav's linen. That's where you're going to have the difference. Because if I say to you, I'm willing to sell you this shipment of linen for $100,000. My intention is to sell it to you at the current value for $100,000. That's what I mean when I say it. In my mind, it's clear that if things change before you take delivery, I'm going to change the conditions of the contract. That's my intention. So I'm not being over. I'm not transgressing this din of Hinshelcha Yiyeh Tzedek according to Rav. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan says, once you've said something, you've got to actualize it. You might have to do it even if things change, even if the conditions change. The Gemara goes then to ask from the case we had on the previous page, where the Gemara says, if you've given money, there's a Misha Para. But if you haven't given money, it's only words. The Chachomim aren't happy with the person who doesn't stand by his word. And the Gemara says there are two different versions of this. It's a very fascinating piece of Gemara. The Gemara goes on eventually and brings a case. How could Rabbi Yochanan say this? Did Rabbi Baba Chana say not in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree that if I say I'm going to give you a gift, I'm allowed to change my mind and not give you the gift? Of course I can change my mind. Obviously, that must mean I'm allowed to change my mind. We're talking there about a small gift. If it's something small, people assume you're going to do it. If you say to a child, I'm going to give you a candy, the child assumes you're going to do it. But if you say to somebody, you know, one day I'm going to give you my car as a gift, people know one day, maybe not. Nobody takes that to the bank already, assuming that that's definitely going to have people understand that there's difference. So it depends on how seriously the other person takes it. Let's have a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, firstly, the Rambam paskins these halachot in Hilchot Deot. These are not laws of commerce, they're laws of character. Hilchot Deot are laws of character. The Rambam paskins the Shulchan Aruch has the laws of character interspersed in the rest of Shulchan Aruch. But the Rambam has a special section called Hilchot Deot right near the very beginning of his work, and that deals with character. And he says there in Perek Bet, Asul lahadam lahanhigatz mo bedivrei halakut ufitui. It is forbidden to be a smooth talker and to say things just for the sake of navigating, but you don't really mean to be very diplomatic, but not honest. Based on our Gemara, you can't say one thing when you're thinking something else. That dissonance between intention and words is not allowed. Your inside must be like your outside. What's in your heart should be what's in your mouth. You're not allowed to mislead people, even an idol worshiper, even somebody who's of a different value system, a different religion. If a non-Jew comes to your butcher store and says, I would like some kosher meat, and you think to yourself, here's an opportunity to get rid of my non-kosher, makes no difference to him. And you sell him a very high quality meat, but it's non-kosher, but you don't tell him, you tell him it's kosher. Makes no difference to him, but for you, there's a problem. It's not, you're not telling the truth. If he says, I want a shoe made from an animal that was shechted, from a kosher animal that was shechted kosher, I don't want the leather to come from an animal that just died. You can't say, well, it doesn't make any difference. There's no issue, there's no prohibition. You can't do that. Don't invite your friend for dinner if you know he can't accept, to make yourself look good. You know he's not going to accept. You're not allowed to do that. These are isurim. Don't give him gifts which you know he'll never accept. Don't open a new barrel, which you're going to open in any case, because you've run out of wine, you've got to open your new barrel to sell, and you say, oh, such an important person's come into my office, I'm going to open a new barrel for you. Can't do these things. Even one word of seduction or of misintention, of dishonesty is not allowed. You've got to be straight and honest. In Hilchot Deot Perik Hey, the Rambam learns, Masao Maton Shel Talmidei Chacham Be'emet Uve'emuna Omer Alav Lav Al Hein Hein. Again, based on our Gemara, if yes, yes; if no, no. Medakdek Al Atzmo Bechesbon. Be very meticulous in the way you do your calculations. And Otein De'me'amekach La'alter. Pay immediately for what you buy. Don't leave a person waiting. And so he goes on, make sure that you stand by your word and you don't make any difference. If other people owe you money, let them take their time. Don't be so meticulous. And so on. And so he goes through these various cases. If you look in the Gemara, and we'll come to the Rambam at the moment, we see that the two ways of learning this pasuk of Hin Shilchat Tzedek v'Lav Shilchat Tzedek, the two ways of learning it, Rabbi Yochanan. The one is, the first way was, you've got it that Shelo Yeheh Echad Hin Shilchat Tzedek v'Lav Shilchat Tzedek. That if you say yes, you must be mitzadek your words, as Rashi says. You must actualize what you've said. That's an aseh. That's a positive thing. That's active. You've now said something, there is an obligation to execute. The way that's how Rabbi Yochanan learns. The way Rav learns, according to Abaye, shelo yedaber echad befeh ve'echad belev, a negative thing. I'm not saying you have to do anything. All I'm saying is, don't be dishonest. If you say something, make sure your heart is in the same place. Your mind is in the same place as your word. One is an active and one is a passive. One is a don't do and one is a do. The Rambam brings them both. In Perek Beis, the Rambam brings that you've got to do all the things that you're not allowed to do. Lo ye echad belev, echad belev. In Perek Hey, in the fifth Perek, Rambam says, Omer alav lav alein hein. There he talks about the positive. So the Rambam paskins both ways. He paskins both the way that Rav learns the pasuk and the way that Rabbi Yochanan learns the pasuk. And he uses them both. What's really interesting is that he uses them in different prokin. And here it's really important when you look up a Rambam or anything for that matter, not to look up online. I've quoted you stuff, and all you see when you quote from line, this is part of the problem when you use the internet, is you just see the piece that you quoted. What's important is the context. What is the difference between Perek Hay and between Perek Bet? So Perek Hay starts, I bring it in the third paragraph, Perek Hay starts, Keshem Sha'achacham Nikar B'chochmato V'deyotav, just as a wise person, a Talmid Chochem, is recognizable by his wisdom, V'hu muvdal b'hem b'sha'ar Adam, and that sets him apart from anybody else. Kach tzarich she'i nikar b'masav. So a Talmid Chochem also has to be recognizable by the way he behaves. B'ma'achalo v'mashkeo, the way he eats, the way he drinks. U'v'ilato, his relationships with his wife. U'v'asiyat zorchav, the way he handles himself in the restroom. U'v'diburo, the way he speaks. U'v'hilucho, the way he walks. U'v'malbusho, the way he dresses. Uvechilkul dvarav, and the way he satisfies himself. Uve masa'o umatano, and the way he does business. The laws that apply to a general person are different from the laws that apply to a Talmid Chacham. Perek Hey is about a Talmid Chacham. Perek Bet is about every Jew. Perek Bet asul la'adam lahanigatzmo. In Perek Hey, the Rambam says, the Perek Bet says, a human being can't do this in such a way. In Perek Hey, the Rambam says, Masa'u matano shel tamid chacham. There he's talking about a tamid chacham. So the Rambam learns the posuk according to both views and says, the one view, the things that you're not allowed to do, that defines a Jew. As the Nemuke Yosef says, Demikri delo se ma'aseh Yisrael, that a Jew doesn't do that. That's what it means. Ruach hachomim ena noicho emenu. A Jew doesn't do those things. That's Perek Bet. A Jewish person, what he says is what he means. And you can trust on that. And you can depend on that. And therefore, if the market changes, that wasn't his intention in the beginning. That's what a regular Jewish person. A Talmid Chochem goes beyond that. A Talmid Chochem is ma'amet et varav. Once he has said something, he goes to the effort of actualizing it. He doesn't leave something said and undone. He says and he does. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't take his time. He does things immediately because there's a chiyuv aseh, there's a mitzvah aseh. To even if it's like paying your debt, you've got to do that because that's part of the mitzvah aseh. It's a beautiful concept. Once you've said something, it's like we have to train our children and our grandchildren and our students. It's something we have to train them. Once you've said something, immediately put it into action because there's a mitzvah. Until you've done that, you've not been mekayim the mitzvah, quite apart from your interpersonal obligation. You've got a hin shelchat tzedek. You've got an additional obligation that we learn that a Talmid Chochem, a Ben Torah, somebody who's living a religious life, has to actualize what he says, has to bring what he says into actuality. We don't have time to look at how the Shulchan Aruch deals with it, but the Aruch HaShulchan seems to be learning it the way that I'm suggesting. He resolves a lot of difficulties by explaining that these are two different levels. There's the level that applies to every Jewish person, and there's the level that applies to a religious person who's living a life of Torah, where the standards are higher. Not only has to be careful that his mind and his words are properly aligned, but he also has an additional obligation to be sure that he executes on everything that he says.